In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord says, I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. These are the words we hear from our blessed Savior on this day during Lent, although today we are keeping the great feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Feast of the Annunciation, the day on which our Lord took flesh and took on his life as man from the moment of his conception in the womb of his Immaculate Mother. This is a feast that falls during Lent when we are reminded of the priceless gift of time. We have been told throughout this season, now is the acceptable time. This is the day of salvation. And for the message I have for all of you today, time is of the essence. And so I will get to my point. Throughout our country, public masses are canceled and gatherings are banned. Schools are closed. Businesses are shuttered and going bankrupt. Millions of Americans are out of work. Healthcare itself is sidelined, as elective surgeries and, in many cases, even vital procedures are canceled or indefinitely postponed. Our travel, our money, our private associations, the conduct of every aspect of our lives, down to the most minute detail, must now be directed in accordance with the common good in the face of a new and terrifying virus. Yet there is one industry that continues throughout this crisis to rake in its billions, unfettered and unperturbed. Far from having to tighten its belt in any way, its government funding continues unabated. The service it provides is in no way essential. It is the very definition of elective surgery. For generations, it has been loudly proclaimed as a choice. While millions of our brave citizens mobilize in the great battle to preserve life, this brood of privileged vipers is scrambling to preserve its status so that it can ensure its lucrative dealings in death. As fears mount that there will not be enough hospital rooms and medical equipment to care for the afflicted, this industry cares only for hoarding its PPE masks to cover the faces of those who to continue to carry out the most unspeakable affliction on the most vulnerable members of our society. And so if you're shut up in your house listening to this sermon, know that your preacher is hoping that these words will be the spark that sets our nation ablaze in the cause of the hour. Thousands of businesses are going under. Let's add one more to the list. This is the day to give ourselves with boundless zeal to this good work, so that when night comes, we can turn out the lights forever on abortion. I'm not talking right now about changing laws. We've been waiting decades for that. The day will never come with all the money and influence the other side has to thwart it. Let's hit them where their treasure is and where their heart lies. Remove the mammon, and this beast will die a quick death. As we are in the midst of our 40 days for the life of our soul, let's remember the weapons God has placed at our disposal: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Are you ready? Let's do this thing. Prayer. I invite everyone listening to this sermon to recite every day the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, for the triumph of our cause. Just one extra decade of the Rosary, placing our cause in the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who on this day received in her womb the eternal Word of God, High Priest from the moment of his conception. Do it. Fasting. From now until Easter, take on just one additional mortification for the triumph of our cause. One more day of fasting and abstinence. One more amusement or curiosity given up. One more day, or at least part of a day, spent in silence. Do it. Almsgiving. Almsgiving includes all the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. And there's a whole lot of feeding, clothing, and housing for us to do, as well as instruction, encouragement, counsel, and correction. Here goes. Get in touch with your local pro-life pregnancy center as soon as possible and find out what you can do to help. These centers are on the front lines of the battle, pulling women back from the brink of desperation and preventing them from making the worst decision of their life, letting them know that they have real support. Pregnancy centers around the country right now are being forced to curtail their hours and services or even close outright. Call or email them now. Ask them what they need. Money, food, clothes, supplies, volunteers. Do it. Call or email your governor and your own state senator and district assemblyman. Tell them that you, as a voter and taxpayer, are calling upon them to close down all abortion clinics in your state for the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic and to divert all state funding of abortion to the public health crisis. Call or email your bishop's office and tell His Excellency with the utmost reverence and respect that you, as a member of his flock, are looking to him to speak out for this cause on behalf of all the Catholics of his diocese. You are counting on him to tell the governor of your state that he will not tolerate this state of affairs, where a person cannot walk into a church for Mass, but can walk into a germ-ridden clinic for an abortion. Encourage him to do so as one voice with all the bishops of your state. Ask your bishop as well to contact the President of the United States and implore him to use his emergency powers to divert all federal funds from the abortion industry to pandemic relief. If all the bishops of this country do this thanks to your encouragement, Planned Parenthood and its affiliates will receive a mortal wound from which they will never recover. As I said, I'm just trying to cause a spark. If someone cleverer, more knowledgeable, or more eloquent than I wants to take this idea and run with it, God go with you. As I sign off now, the first thing we'll do is kneel down and pray our Decade of the Rosary. Our Lady of the Annunciation, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.